This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit FlyingPorkApparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian, and with me today,
Daryl,
welcome back, buddy.
Thank you very much. It's
been
a while.
It has, and you guys are going to start seeing, whatever, a lot more of Daryl, because he is, are you officially the co-host? Did we decide on that, or?
I thought you were going to give me a trial run.
We're going to see. We're going to work it out.
Because you did just say, you know, you weren't sure if you wanted the podcast with me after the Bloodshot mention.
Well, yeah, you did buy Bloodshot without having seen it, and I don't know, but all right. Well, hey,
don't judge me, people.
It's a crazy time. Hopefully, this can give you guys an hour or so of escapism and whatnot. I have bronchitis. I do not have COVID-19, so if you hear me cough, I apologize. I'm going to try and get as many of those out as I can, but. This week we're talking about the Picard finale. We're going to talk about Westworld's episode 1 and 2. And to kick things off, there's some Star Wars news. And then I've got a little bit of conjecture that I want to talk about when it comes to the Star Wars news. But we're talking Rosario Dawson has been cast in The Mandalorian as Ahsoka Tano. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I immediately thought about you when I heard that, just because I know it sounds bad when I say it, like just messing with you. You're kind of an Ahsoka Tano fanboy.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm 100% an Ahsoka Tano fanboy. So, you know, she grew on me like she did everybody else. You know, she was in the theatrical release movie that they did. She was awful. In the first season of Clone Wars, like most of the first season of Clone Wars is bad. But in like true master storytelling fashion, they had a character and they let her grow and mature and learn. Much like Damian Wayne, right? Damian Wayne is one of the few characters who's actually been able to grow and mature before, you know, all of the New 52 stuff went and erased some of that. But yeah, it's just one of those things where this is really cool news. I think one, Rosario is an amazing actress. We love her. And
yes.
I think she's going to knock it out. And so, I mean, they've already filmed. Like, they're done filming. So this isn't a rumor. I mean, this is for sure. She's in it. Like, but how much, I don't know. But, yeah.
I keep forgetting they've already done film. They've already done shooting it and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where they're so far ahead because they have so much post-production to do. But... I mean, it's the end of March. It's going to be October, you know, tomorrow, the way things work. And, you know, I mean, Ahsoka was, she was real heavy on Rebels there in season two, into season one, all of season two. Showed back up for season four. This is just one of those things where this is a character that will be, this will be like Star Wars Harley Quinn, where, you know, it's a character who started in another part of the IP and then came on to become a live action character. So I'm really interested to see how they do this. And of course, you know, in the whole, we can't have nice things. There's people who are already upset about them casting.
That's what I do nowadays. I just sigh quite a bit when I hear things, just because people are dumb. People are inordinately sensitive to things. And if you step out of line from where they believe you should be, it's judgment.
So, I mean, there's some horrible, like, channels on YouTube that talk about Star Wars and you know the social justice warrior type stuff, and you know, we're not that, we're not here to tell you what to believe or not believe or whatever. But when you all of a sudden start trying to cancel someone because of allegations or whatever, but more importantly, when you're, you know, authors of two of the more high profile books that have come out about Star Wars recently, with one, the Ahsoka book a few years ago, and then the the much controversial novelization of Rise of Skywalker, which I'm listening to right now. Not this very moment, but I'm in the process. I'm like three quarters of the way through it. I feel like you shouldn't be coming out and like throwing stones at like the other side of the entertainment division, because I'll tell you right now, like, the Ahsoka book was okay. It wasn't great. I would have preferred Dave Filoni write it, because the author definitely takes some liberties with the character and has an agenda that is shoehorned in.
Again, I haven't read it, so, but I have seen too many examples of what you said of something with an agenda and it's shoehorned in.
Yeah.
If you have a message that you're trying to say, that message should come after making a compelling story, a compelling narrative.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't get it. Like, I don't understand, like, you know, it's you have to have the exact right kind of representation or something. I don't understand, like, what's good enough and what's not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, you're obviously here to fill a quota, being a podcaster of color. So, you know.
what is it you call me in your phone?
Well, it's just Daryl Jasper now. Like, I got rid of the other two. So, but.
Oh, okay.
Well, I had three Daryls. And you were all, you know, because it just said Daryl, Daryl, Daryl. And I didn't
and my
have
other brother, Daryl.
I
have never heard that joke before.
No, but it was like, you know, it's back before I put everybody's like last names and stuff in there. And so it was old Daryl, gay Daryl, black Daryl. And it was just like, there you go. That's how I knew who was calling. And then, you know, it just goes from there. And the funny thing was, gay Daryl was older than old Daryl, but, you know, it was, I just did the key, descriptor there. Anyway, but. Actually, you're older than... No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so I'm really interested in why it got this reaction before seeing anything about it. And two, like, if all of a sudden, like, you're having characters or only actors of a certain persuasion or color or you know, whatever, can play a character, then when is it acting? Like, where's the craft in that then? And then how are you going to have someone play an alien? And how are you, like, you know, where does it end? Like, you know, like, I know Jeffrey Tambor in the show he did on Amazon where he won.
Transparent. Was that?
Yeah. He won a couple Emmys and Golden Globes, I think. And, you know, then all of a sudden it wasn't okay for him to play the role because he wasn't a trans man or trans woman. And it's
Scarlett,
like,
Johansson, yeah. Backed out of a role because of that.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, the whole like Ghost in the Shell thing where it's like, it's not okay for her to play the role because she's not Asian. And it's like, okay, like, part of that I get because like I'm all for like keeping to the source material and stuff. But like, I love Michael B. Jordan. He was an awful Johnny Storm.
Oh, he was terrible.
He was horrible. Like
terrible.
They I've said it many times. They all should have taken one step to the left, right? Miles Teller should have been Johnny Storm. Michael B. Jordan should have been the Thing. Kate Mara should have been Mr. Fantastic. And Jamie Bell should have been, you know, Sue Storm. And, you know, it's just like that would have been perfect casting. But no, it's just like I don't get it. And like, you know, they in that movie in particular, there was no rhyme or reason why to do that. It didn't add to the story. They didn't really even discuss it. They just kind of threw it out there, and it's like confusing. Like, okay, and like when like Lock and Key, like when they switched the race of the characters,
right.
Was weird, and there wasn't a reason to do it. So why? Like, why not just follow what's in it? Because there are more and more of these really cool like parts and roles from other parts of IP being written. for more representation, which is important, and it should be done.
And this is the thing with representation. First of all, I get it. And there are certain things that change that I'm okay with. Other things, not so much. To your point, I know you were a huge Lock and Key fan. We talked about this. I think we talked about this last time I was on the show.
Yeah, it was the last time we talked about it. And yeah.
Right. And
but I've talked about the Lock and Key comic for years on this show. Years.
Right. And I mean, I read probably the first 15 or 16 issues, and I enjoyed the comic. I wasn't into it like you. I didn't read the whole run.
Right.
And so some of the stuff you were talking about, because I was, let's be honest, a casual reader of it, I didn't pick up on, or it just kind of like flew by me. So it didn't bug me like it would have bugged me if I was in your shoes, in the sense of love this comic, loved it for years, and then they change it.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Like you said, if things are changed and for a new spin that is compelling and doesn't come off as serving a purpose in the sense of, you know, this whole identity politics thing, that's fine. But when you change things just to change them, and this is an example of one, I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, that was a change, like one of the worst things that Marvel has ever done, in, again, in my estimation. I know everyone didn't hate it like I did, but the whole entire thing with the Mandarin and their excuse for this was, well, the Mandarin was outdated. Well, Mandarin was stereotypical and racist and this, that, and the other, and so we couldn't change it. So you couldn't change the Mandarin to a terrorist like they did in the original Iron Man.
Right.
That's where they first started with the Ten Rings in Iron Man 1. And then they do this Trevor Slattery thing with Ben Kingsley, who felt punched.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer as this terrorist leader got me so hyped for the film. And then they do a 180 on us where, and again, some of it is kind of funny, I won't lie, because Ben Kingsley is such a great actor. Like, right. Even in his Trevor role, it's great. But it just really – and if they would have had a better villain than Killian, than Guy Pearce as the bad guy, that might have helped some. But he was just basically a formulaic Iron Man bad guy.
Yeah.
That offered absolutely nothing new. And the Mandarin, as the way they showed him – would have offered that newness as of an Iron Man villain that could have been one of the more memorable villains in the MCU.
Yeah, like it would have been their Loki for Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody talks about how, like, oh, Loki's the best villain, or Thanos is the best villain, or, you know, the Avengers are the best villains. And, you know, I mean, they are. They're the best villains. They ruined, like, an idyllic Earth. You know, you want to see what it's like when that happens? Go outside right now. The blip. It's going on as we speak. Anyway. But no, like, but just kind of to circle back, right? Like, there's no reason for these authors who are involved with Disney and LucasArts and Star Wars to be, like, saying, like, you know, this actress is a gross person. My joy meter went from 10 to 0. Like, why is that okay? Like, I'm sorry, but if I'm someone at Lucasfilm, I look at that tweet and I say, guess what? You wrote your last book for us. Absolutely. You wrote your last book for us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, everyone's always like harping about how, like, you know, like, if you don't agree with me, you're done. Like, and that's what this is. But that should have a real world ramification. And I'm not saying to cancel Rae Carson, because, like, the stuff that she's written that I've listened to so far in the book has been like, man, why wasn't this in the movie? And I've read some of her other stuff. I believe she's the one who wrote Lost Soul or Lost Stars, which is like one of the best, like, Star Wars books, like, about, like, characters you've never heard of or anything like that. And looking at the rebellion and the Empire from a really cool point of view. But you can't do this. Like, E.K. Johnston did not write a good enough book to be able to come out and talk the crap that she's talking and think that that's okay. I mean, we've had other, like, Star Wars, like, Lucasfilm employees on the show, and, like, they would not bash Star Wars publicly. Like, you know, Like, even privately, they're hesitant to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying you can't have an opinion. I'm not saying you can't have your own opinion. But when you go out of your way to, like, participate in cancel culture for this, like, it's just, it's infuriating. And that's why we need Dolores to come and save us all.
I don't know about that. But to your point, and this is just an overarching point, I know we don't want to continue on with this for too long, but I am 100% a guy with freedom of speech. You know, I'm not one of those that believe, you know, this should be censored. You should be able to say whatever you want. With that, though, comes, like you said, there are consequences for what you say. So, I believe it comes across that some of these people on a certain side believe that they are untouchable and they can say whatever they want.
Right.
And if things don't go to the level or to the, you know, stand the lines, I guess you would say, of their belief system, they're all well and good to attack and anyone who steps out of that line. But right. If you come back at them, that's when they start, you know, saying whether, hey, you're racist, you're sexist, you're this, that, or the other.
Right.
So it is not. And again, it's one of those things that it's frustrating. And again, I don't mind people's having an opinion. I really don't. However, I do think if you are representing a company, an organization like Lucasfilm or like Marvel or like whatever, you should be held to a standard where, hey, we don't talk like this about, you know, our other properties. Yeah, you might think that in your head, but, and it's not censoring. Some people think that's censoring in the sense of it's just good business practices. Like, you go to any company and you badmouth your company in, you know, in the media or somewhere else or online, that stuff has real world consequences.
Right.
And it should.
Yep.
So.
All right. So, I think we just have to wait and see. Like, I seriously doubt they're going to, like, recast her. And they don't really seem to be, you know, too amped on, like, giving into things and whatnot. But, you know, that being said, Ahsoka Tano is going to show up in Mandalorian. So a little conjecture here. A little conjecture corner, if you will. We better be getting Ezra fucking Bridger.
So I must say, I've told you that I'm watching Rebels. I have not finished Rebels.
You've been watching Rebels for years.
For like 2.5 years. I know.
Like, I've watched Rebels three times since you started watching Rebels.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I know certain things that happen. And for those who, you know, I don't want to spoil things. I know certain things happen to certain people. So I'm really interested to see what happens at the end of Rebels. Ezra Bridger.
Yeah, I'll put the last six episodes of Rebels up against any other Star Wars IP at all. And beg you to tell me that I'm wrong saying it's the best of it is the peak Star Wars.
With that, you might have me binging the rest of because I think I'm on episode 3 or 4 of season 4 right now.
I mean,
so I might be binging that.
So they
weekend.
split it right into two halves, and like the first half is really good because we got the siege, we got the Mandalore stuff and all of that. The Heroes of Mandalore, and then we come back and they're in their last little run on Lothal, and it's Thrawn versus the Rebels versus, you know, the Ghost Crew, and yeah, it's, I mean, you laugh, you cry some more, you cry again when you think about why you're crying, and like, you know, it's just like, God damn, this is what storytelling should be, and the fact that they're able to, that Dave Filoni and that crew of writers and animators and voice actors were able to put all of this together in a way, it's just so fantastic, and so. For Ezra to have what happens to him at the end, because I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he's no longer in the picture, and we get a scene where an older version of Ahsoka shows up, and she's like, come on, Sabine, we got work to do. And so if we have at least a little bit of a chance of getting Ezra and Sabine Wren as well, in a live action version of Star Wars, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm really, because I love the Mandalorian season one just for what it represented. But there is, and the one thing I love about this upcoming season two, not just for this news about Dawson being cast in it, but also just as much as I like season one, there's so much room for improvement.
Yeah,
you know.
Season one, like just like Clone Wars and just like the Resistance, season one is a mess of them trying to build a world and introduce characters and try and tell a story. And you know, they I feel like Rebels found their feet a little bit faster than those other two shows. But yeah. But I will say this: I don't know what Dev Patel is doing right now, but you know, Dave, John, give him a call. He'd be perfect as Ezra, as a grown up Ezra. Just saying.
So yeah, that would be interesting to see if, because that would be a nice little surprise. And I don't know in this day and age if they could hold that surprise if he's in the show or in an episode or something along those lines.
Well, see, this begs the question: is what exactly is Ahsoka doing on The Mandalorian? Right? Is she
right?
Is she walking by and it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Ahsoka Tano? Is it like a backdoor pilot into an Ahsoka series? Is it, you know, she's like they dump that stupid baby Yoda thing,
and
you know, they're like, here, you punch it in the face for a while. We've had enough of it. We've had our fun. You know, it's, you know, like what is it gonna be? So, that's the beauty of it, right? We don't know, and
right,
and you know, to conjecture in the corner about Ezra showing up, I think is something I would greatly like to see, and two, something I think that would be like a really cool thing to say, hey, you know what, we're going to take this story of these three characters, and you know, they started in the animated universe, but they're a little bit older, and we're going to do it in live action, and we're going to do like a 10 episode miniseries, and we're going to close out this run of Ahsoka Tano, and I think that would be cool.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, live.
I love that one.
Yeah, do it live. So, anyway.
So, yeah, but that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very looking forward to this, to her, not just to her, but just to The Mandalorian Season 2 quite a bit.
Yeah. And all this started was because, like, Pablo Pascal says, you know, says he believes in trans rights. And I do, too. Like, you know, I mean, I'm 100%, like, everybody should be treated equally and with love and respect. Mm-hmm. And if you're an asshole, then you're an asshole and you don't, you know, you don't get to tell people that they're wrong for what they believe in. But at the same time, you can't go out and just be like, I disagree with something you said or did. You're canceled. Like, that's not right. Okay. That's just not like, that's not a good way to go through anything. Yeah, and you never get art then. You just get life.
And the funny thing, all these people that do that, don't tell me you haven't been a jerk or an ass to somebody. It doesn't matter, you know, what if they could just, you know, just be black, white. It doesn't matter. It's like if you're being a jerk or an ass to somebody, you're being a jerk or an ass.
Mm-hmm.
If you did that a couple times, that doesn't mean you should be canceled. Now, if you're doing, you know, there are certain things that, you know, go beyond that, that we don't need to discuss, that cancellation or not cancellation, but again, going back to the consequences need to be met out.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Like something like this is people just love to, you know, step up on their, like I say, step up on their soapbox and yell and throw rocks at people.
Get up on their high horse.
Yeah. Even though if somebody turns it back around them, they're going to try to give any excuse in the world to say why it's different.
Yeah.
And it's not.
So good, positive Star Wars news as well, without any kind of controversy. It was announced on Polygon today that they are re-releasing Episode 1 Pod Racer on the Switch and the PS4.
Oh, that's an old game. Oh, I remember that game.
That's the whole reason I bought an N64 back in the day. And if they're going to do like a high def version, and like I have a Switch Lite, so I will now be bringing that with me everywhere I go once that game comes out. Yeah, that had me super excited today. So
wow, that's pretty cool. And you said PS4 too as well.
Yeah, PS4 right? as well. So good on you, Nintendo. Anyway. So yeah, let's move on to the Picard finale. Episode 10, season 1.
Before we start it, tell me what you said about Picard.
So I have a whole list. Like, I have an entire piece of paper filled with what I thought, and I have pluses and minuses. And I'll let you know right now, I have two pluses, and all the rest are minuses. And it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that is pretty full. leading up to the finale, went back and tried to rewatch the first season of Picard, and it already doesn't hold up. I'm gonna be on the Everything Is Permitted podcast this week talking about this, so I don't want to go too deep into it.
Yeah, don't.
Because I told them I'd come and talk about it with them when they asked. But I will say, like, I think I was just so excited to not be in the middle of Enterprise and the original trilogy timeline, that I was excited to get these characters back. And yeah, I don't think we should necessarily spoil anything, but I will say, when he went to Prime Heaven with the rest of the Autobots, that was fucked up.
It's funny you say that, because right after, and I didn't make the connection to you said that, I was watching Chris Stuckman's Hilariosity review of Revenge of the Fallen, and, you know, the Transformer Heaven that Sam goes through. Yeah. And I thought about when we talked about that a while ago, because I remember you said that, Transformer Heaven. And I did not make that connection. I was not a fan of that in Picard, honestly. I was a fan of it because I love the conversation. I love those two characters together.
Sure.
However, from a narrative perspective, that was pretty forced. And giving up too many spoilers, what happened at the end to Picard, I saw that in a mile. I mean, that was
I called that last week. And like I had said, I was excited that they were going to do that, but like I really wasn't. And just I thought they should have the balls to kill them and change the name of Rios' ship to the Picard.
Yeah.
And that's what Star Trek Picard was. But then I realized they didn't really focus on any of the other characters and like really building them or giving them backstories. And the little like sweeping family shot of that bridge at the end like made me want to throw up in my mouth.
Okay. See, with me, I actually like that. However, the one thing I wish they would have done more of, like you said, as far as the characters, the most interesting character to me was Rios. Dude has all his holograms are him, like different parts of his personality. Yeah. I love that. And instead, like, was it last week or was it the week before where we got kind of like his story on what happened?
Yeah, it was last week.
And it was so quickly done.
It was the week before.
In all honesty, it kind of was like that climatic battle. And again, I'm trying to keep it at least spoiler light in the finale. It was great in a sense, but you could feel the rush of it, you know, and not in the rush of a positive way. Like everything was like they scraped everything together and just threw it against the wall.
Well, like we saw a Romulan armada and a Federation armada. And there was not one differing ship from either side.
That was lazy. That was absolutely lazy.
How lazy. All Romulan Federation ships were the same. How lazy. That was what I wrote. And, like, honestly, the magic little handheld that could fix anything or do anything, all I could think of is Randy Orton yelling at Kofi Kingston, stupid, stupid, stupid.
That was another one of those things where it was just why
lazy.
And this is coming from a person who I actually enjoyed the finale. I had some problems. I had more problems with the second half of it than anything.
It was 15 minutes too long.
And yet it was still rushed. Even with that, it felt rushed.
See, All right, I'll tell you the two things I liked. I liked Riker showing up because that was cool.
I love that. Absolutely love that.
And Jonathan Frakes was awesome. And then 7 of 9 versus Peyton List was awesome.
You know what? And again, I tend to be a little bit more, critical of fight scenes. And there were some parts I really liked about that fight scene. But other parts, I thought it was kind of, it lacked something. The this is Sparta kick at the end. There was something lacking about that, and I can't pinpoint what it is.
I don't think we've seen the last of her. So,
because we know about her just in time transporter technology that she always has. So I don't think she's gone. I honestly don't think she's gone.
JITT.
Yeah.
Just in time.
One thing I did like about this is, and I don't think they did a good enough job on the Romulan side. I thought they were going to explore it more a couple weeks ago where they show what the admonition is. And, you know, it's basically, look, the Romulan Sea is the end of the world or the end of human life or organic life. So naturally, they're taking whatever steps they can to save it. So they're, in a way, they're their own heroes. This show didn't do a good enough job showing that side.
Right.
It just showed them as the evil Romulans.
Yeah.
When they are fighting for,
they're just one-dimensional pointy-eared bastards, and that's it. So
yeah, and that's one thing. Again, I was talking to my buddy Jim that I think I might think about rewatching it, and I think that's one of those things that'll stand out for me even more, that lack of depth.
Yeah.
That they gave. Now Narek had a little bit of depth, but Narissa, Commodore O, like they played them as evil for evil's sake and not because they had a purpose that they felt was. And again, think about it. They see this vision, regardless of if it's true or not, or regardless if it was going to happen or not. They believe this body and soul. Why? It's basically, think about Thanos and how Thanos was portrayed.
Right.
In the sense of he's doing this not for power, you know, not because he thinks he's superior, but he probably thinks that, but because he thinks it's the best thing for existence. And that's the same thing these Romulans, that's their, you know, their frame of reference or their frame of mind, but that was never done. They never did justice to that.
Right.
So I think that's a big miss in the series. It could have been a much more compelling, you know, Picard trying to, you know, work his side while the Romulans are working their side. And the other thing I liked about this episode was you understood why the synths were going to, you know, build that, going to do what they were going to do and, you know, connect to the synth.
Right.
Whatever you want to call the synth elder gods or the old gods, you know, that one scene.
I think it was just Ozymandias's giant octopus, space octopus.
It reminds me of the elder gods from, or do they call, I can't remember if the elder or older gods from the original Hellboy, the actually good version of Hellboy.
Yeah.
It reminds of like the tentacles and everything, which again, that was kind of lazy too.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they did. They just say, okay, let's give synthetic tentacles. What?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I don't even know. I just like, there's a lot of Star Trek content coming out and like, it's funny.
I'm looking forward to Discovery.
Like I'm looking forward to Discovery coming back. I'm looking forward to the animated series Lower Decks. I'm a little less interested in Section 31 now.
I am too.
But CBS All Access is free for the next month for everybody. CBS has turned that on. So if you want to check out Picard, it's definitely worth watching. I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So All right. Westworld season 3. You hate it, don't you?
No, I don't. I so far, and again, this is only 2 episodes in. It's much tighter narrative than what they had for season two.
I'm 100% in love with this season so far, two episodes in.
And you said that about the first episode.
Dude,
and
I was all in at the first episode.
Yeah. And I rewatched it. I still like it. I actually liked it a little bit more watching it the second time around because, you know, I like gotten the anticipation out and I could, you know, sit down and just enjoy it.
So what am I most, what am I most afraid of in the world?
Oh, the robot overlords?
AI. I am terrified of artificial intelligence. And, you know, the fact that we've got competing AIs running amok in the world and, like, AIs have taken over customer service jobs and the jobs of a therapist and, you know, all of this stuff. And it is fascinating. And it has me, like, triggered and anxious and, you know, it's just... It is so good. And Aaron Paul is crushing it. You know, Evan Rachel Wood is crushing it. But yeah. And then this, the second episode with Tandy Newton, who I am in love with her. Wow. Maeve has become an amazing character.
I love Maeve's character. And I remember her from back in the day from Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the first time I actually
that was like her,
her
first big big breakout role.
Okay, that's why. So, then okay,
but
so
I
really like seeing that another, like, getting that other part, War World, I think that's what they called it, right?
Yeah, it was War World. And we're gonna get to see all six worlds this season, they've said. So far we've got Westworld, Shogun World, War World, Game of Thrones World, and then Jurassic Park, and I don't know what the other one is. So, but yeah, let's talk a little bit about the first episode. So we've got Dolores kind of establishing herself in the real, being just a straight up, just like, badass, like taking that guy's money and, like, you know, tricking him into killing himself and all that. Like, I thought that was a really great reintroduction from a 2-year break from the show to get back to where they were and where they were going. And then we got Bernard, who is in the midst of some sort of a crisis. And yeah, it was really cool.
The Incredible Hulk Bernard.
The Incredible Bulknard. He, like, got bigger too when he clicked the button. Did you see that? Like, he kind of, like, peacocked out a little bit, and he was like,
"Yeah." Oh yeah, yeah. It's that split personality part of him where it's just the monster.
So, which was really cool, and he's like, "Please don't hurt them too badly," and it's like, dude, they're definitely gonna die. I mean, it's. I really, really liked what they brought it back as. I liked the little subplot with Chibs from Sons of Anarchy, as the tech guy's, you know, essentially nanny. And then who is in Teresa Thompson's character? Who's in Chibs? Who's, you know, who, like, she brought six cores with her. Like, who's who? Is Teddy one of them?
Yeah, and we should be, and again, based on what we last, like, what we've seen of him in the last two seasons, Teddy should be pretty obvious based on his, you know, his morality.
Right.
So, yeah, that's so fascinating in that respect, because I know we were talking about it just.
Well, there's, like, people who think Tessa Thompson's character is Teddy.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking that. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but, like, just based on, and again, we didn't get enough of her character to kind of make a, you know, pretty much an accurate assessment of that. I mean, it was just that boardroom meeting. I think this upcoming episode is going to explore her character more, so we'll get a better idea of, you know, who that is. Right. We can make a better assumption of if it's Teddy or not.
Although she had the best line of the entire first episode. robots don't kill people. People kill people. And it was just the board members anyway. I mean, come on. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else happened that was pretty fascinating in that. But I do that point of the competing AIs. And what is that AI's name again?
Rehobola, I think is how you say it.
Yeah.
But like, let's talk about Marshawn Lynch for a second. Like, he was a thug from the Uber of Crime app in there, and his shirt had like, it just lit up with whatever he was feeling at the moment.
Yeah, it was a mood. It was a mood shirt, mood ring shirt.
It was great. Amused, confused, angry. When he punched the stockbroker dude who was tripping, that was pretty awesome. And then the lady from who was H in Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, yeah, Lena
from
Lee.
Yeah, I love her. In the Master of None, Aziz Ansari show. I don't know if you've watched it on Netflix yet. She's amazing. She's so good in that.
I didn't know she was in that.
I'm always a big fan when she shows up and stuff. I think she's awesome. But yeah, so the first episode I thought was a really good introduction. And then the second episode where we pick up in World and we spend a little more time with Delos, I thought was really, really interesting. And then the Drogon and the Double D's having their little cameos there was kind of cool, which apparently that was George R. R. Martin's idea. That was interesting. And just Maeve's whole journey with Sizemore and what that turned out to be, and then the position, the position where Maeve is left in, it was the most compelling part of the episode because she spent two seasons as like the apex predator.
Yeah.
And now like she's had the poison taken out of her fangs, and it's just really, really interesting to see what's going to happen.
Right. And like, not to get off too far off the top subject, but the whole Drogon thing.
Yeah.
I did read an article that was lambasting that and just like going off on how shitty it was to do that. And it's like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure they filmed that before the finale of Game of Thrones aired.
Like, but this is the thing, like, people don't, I understand your love for stuff, and again, I mentioned it with Iron Man 3 and the Mandarin, so I understand somebody's love for stuff, but don't let one scene you don't like ruin things for you.
And
you
it
know?
Was funny. It was funny it that was they're funny. In there, you know? Yeah. It was I don't know. I thought I saw it, I called you immediately. To find out where
you
were.
What are you calling me for?
And I'm like, are you at minute 39?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell are you calling me for?
text me when you get to minute 39. It's like, you know, I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I just love those. And again, I like Easter eggs like that, just because it's not really important, but it's just like a cool little nod. But back to Maeve's journey, to your point, I mean, I love the whole, you know, that 1940s, 50s, 60s type
feel of her. World War I, wherever she was. Yeah.
Just of that whole journey of, you know, what is the guy's name? Santoro's
Hector.
Characters.
Hector.
Yeah. Yeah. How he was just that, you know, again, it's just that kind of like that stereotypical, you know, swashbuckling, you know, spy type. Resistance fighter,
right?
You know, going through those motions, and you know, then for her to have to, you know, tell him like, look,
yeah,
that's, you know, this is what it is. And like, even going further than that, you know, with her and what's the writer's name?
Sizemore. Lee Sizemore.
Yes, I love that. And just, I mean, like when you were talking about AI, just think of that, like in the sense of an AI not even knowing it's an AI.
Right. And it created based off of her code base, right? Based off of the experience she went through, that it created something that they that it thought that she would believe. But again, because it's artificial intelligence and it misses nuance, it just assumed Lee was in love with her, not he was trying to save a work of art that, you know, he created and crafted. And yeah, and it was, you know, it didn't realize that Hector was the one that she was in love with. It didn't, the her lab tech buddies from the ginger dude and the dude from Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, you know, didn't realize like that they were allies, and it was weird for them not to recognize her. And so, you know, it only could go so deep, and that's why its ruse ultimately failed. But then the little L7 robot that she took over to try and get her her core out was really cool. Right. So
yeah, watching the CG of that scene and how that robot moved was, because you could see the, and again going back to the whole Dolores thing being, and just that whole idea of the Westworld parks, just the move, the such a fluid human type movement, even though it's not in a human type body.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see, because like you, and again going back to what you said about her being the apex predator and being defanged, declawed, basically going back to that helplessness she had before she basically regained consciousness.
Yeah.
Or you know,
found her before she woke up. Yeah, before she took before she took the red pill. But the thing is she's not as helpless as she was prior to that. She has a string on her now that she hasn't had. And it's going to be really interesting to watch who's going to be her ally in all of this. And, you know, we kind of got a brief like foreshadow of a potential war between her and Dolores in season two when their groups kind of met up briefly at a crossroads. And, you know, it's like we've seen the previews where she's all like ninja'd out with the katana and everything. And it's like, okay, I feel like that is something completely different than what they're leading us to believe it is.
Yeah, I'm one of those that I try not to at least like go too far into conjecture, and but I just have a feeling they are kind of, you know, setting things up in a way only to pull a swerve towards, you know, at the on the back end of things.
And Westworld's never been a show where like they're like, ha, we're gonna try and fool you as much as we can, right? Like, if you figure it out, you figure it out. And, you know, it's not like you've cracked some, you know, big codex or anything like that. But at the same time, the show has enough intrigue and mystery to it that they do genuinely have surprises. But in season two especially, the surprises came at the expense of some of the narrative due to the structure of the storytelling with time and space and what reality or what point in reality you were in. And they don't seem to be doing that this year.
Yeah. And
so,
and again, so far it's been a lot clearer and a lot more structured, but just a lot more focus. And again, I know we're only in two episodes and it's only eight this season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm 100% on board with.
I don't mind that. Again, we've had this discussion before about, I think network television is getting it wrong, especially genre shows. They get it wrong with these 22 episode seasons. And even some of these streaming shows where like the Netflix shows we've talked about, the MCU Marvel Netflix shows where they're 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Like
the Defenders should have been three episodes. It shouldn't have been.
What was
six.
That? That was six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could
like
be
what
even
did
four.
What did I just watch? I'm not into this, or I'm not okay with this. That show, I watched that in a sitting, seven episodes. I'm ready for season two. You know, it was really interesting. They took their time building it up. We learned about the characters. We learned about the girl's dad, and you know, we had a nice little reveal at the end, and like, yeah. And that's how it should be done. And there was a lot of story packed into seven episodes, but it wasn't.
And these weren't like 30 minute. All of these weren't like 30 minute episodes.
No, they're
either.
Like, some of them were like, there was a 19. I think there was a 19 minute episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't like they were shoving, you know, they weren't doing like a Rise of Skywalker where it was 10 pounds of story in a 6 ounce bag.
Right.
Like it was just enough story for the time they had allotted, and they used their time wisely to push the story forward. While at the same time building up, you know, the nerd guy from down the street, her friend who she's in love with, her, you know, the bully who, you know, gets pink misted, and you know, all of that stuff. And so,
you know what, that's a show where one of my favorite first lines of a show I think I've ever seen, it's like, "Dear Diary, go fuck yourself."
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm into this. This is hilarious. So I really, but to that point, yeah. And this, so I think 8 episodes will be perfect for Westworld. Mm-hmm. You don't need those 10. It forces, and as long as they don't overstuff it, which I don't think they are, it forces the writers to trim the fat, basically.
Right.
Like, when you have 8 episodes, you have to tell a tighter story.
I mean, they've done two 10-episode seasons. Now they're doing an 8-episode season. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. Like, is it going to go and be, you know, another, you know, 6 or 7-season run for a show? I don't know. Like, ideally, I'd like to get 5 seasons out of this show. And if it's 3 more, you know, 2 more 8-episode seasons after this, awesome. Like, tell me a cool, cohesive story and finish it out. And if I have to wait an extra 6 to 8 months to get the stories too, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't know where they were, you know, kind of what the overarching plan was. Like, if they had written out or mapped out kind of like, okay, this narrative is going to be 5 seasons or so. I that's one thing I didn't know about. And I don't know if, do you know anything about that as far as behind the scenes?
No, but I think the way that they talked about the narratives that they wrote for the characters in the park, I have a feeling that was like kind of a glimpse into their writer's room. Like, hey, look, we have this story, and then we have this story that we're going to tell, and now we want to tell this story. And then the whole, like, well, this is a derivative of that. Like, you know, like, I feel like that's kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to like, hey, this is what we're doing and where we're going and where it's going to end up.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, this season is the big combines out in the middle of the island, building the church and all of that stuff for Ford's new narrative. This is Ford's new narrative now, and we're in that part of the story.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. That's the way I'm looking at it. I have nothing to back that up. It's just, you know, I think it feels like that's the type of writer's room that they have, and that's the type of show that they're putting on, because it's definitely a little meta.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, yeah. And one of the things I will say that I'm cautious about is, again, with 8 episodes, I don't think they're going to do this. I think that this might be just like the first couple episodes that they did that where they split off with the characters where, mm-hmm. you know, you didn't have Dolores or you didn't have Aaron Paul's character, which I agree, by the way. I really liked him in episode 1, really liked his character and just kind of what he's going through, how they showed it too. That's how you do use flashbacks.
Yeah.
You use, you know, you just need glimpses of things like that, because that's how memory works a lot of mm-hmm. times. Like, you'll be doing something and then you'll just have a quick flash of something that happened, and it just catches you in the moment.
Like, like that happens to me with like a smell, or like music really does that to me. And I know that does it to everybody,
right.
But like, absolutely. But like, he was having like a brief, just there, it's my buddy. And like, we were getting just those snapshots, like you said, of that story. And like, it was pretty obvious what was going on there. But at the same time, it was really cool to see how he worked through it. And we got to talk about let's commit. Let's make money, motherfucker. The Rico app or I forget what it was called, but like the crime app, the Uber crime app was, right. It was, yeah, like, oh my God, like this is a society that is literally idyllic, but they know there has to be an underworld. So let's, yeah, just monetize it. Let's just like put, yeah, it out there. If you need to do something kind of off the grid, okay, there's consequences. You can get in a lot of trouble. Like there was the guy who was tripping and they're like, you know, he's got two strikes. And he's like, well, that's his fault. He knew that going in. Like, why should I have to, like, you know, do this? I don't do, right, personals. You know, I just, yeah, I thought it was just all very well thought out.
And it's funny because it kind of plays into that whole Matrix, the whole narrative of the Matrix where, you know, the AI, the machines, they realize, they tried to do an idyllic world and it, mm-hmm, crashed because humans, right, can't take, you know, that idyllic world. You know, you have a world like this and you, I mean, again, like you said, there's going to be crime. You know, there's going to be a certain part of the population that seems like it's going to always be, you know, to that underbelly, get into that underworld that, you know, that, you know, that's either skirts or just blatantly breaks the law.
Right.
For this, the rush for, you know, just saying, hey, this is me, this is what I'm standing up for, or just for the chaos of it. And I thought that was pretty funny where how you can just, you know, you can just choose your pleasure, basically. You know, just something like, you know, a little B&E, little armed robbery. You know, and like you said, he didn't do the personals, the kidnappings, the killings, or, you know, any of that stuff. And the fact that you can choose, you can choose from the app, you know, your experience. That's you know, in a world like that, it makes sense to have an app like that.
Right,
I think.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway,
but I am looking forward to, yeah, this season, though. I'm, yeah, definitely looking forward to this season.
I think the effects have been really cool. I think the futuristic LA is, oh, awesome. Goodness. The cars are really cool. Her motorcycle, and she's like, "Hey, wake up, come to my location." It's like, what? Like, that was so, yeah, cool. And then when they took that guy out, I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I don't know. I've always been a little more into this show than Game of Thrones. Just because, I don't know, I just have. And I'm not bashing Game of Thrones by any stretch of the imagination. But as far as, like, I think HBO shows go, this one was a huge leap for them, mm-hmm, in, like, the realm of science fiction and more of, right, like, the techno-noir story that they're trying to tell, especially this season. And I feel like they've given it the time it took to breathe. I think they gave it the actors that it needed to, you know, really push things forward and be a presence. And I think Evan Rachel Wood should be winning awards hand over fist for Dolores, the way she plays her and the way that, mm-hmm, like, she's always adapting her to whatever is called for Dolores to be doing. And then Tandy Newton should be winning, you know, whichever ones she doesn't win. Or they should just be, like, sharing. Like, hey, we're just going to give it to both of you because you're both amazing. So,
yeah. Yeah.
We couldn't decide, so you get it. You both get one.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love season one of Westworld. Loved it. Season two, like I said, it was more of a mess for me. I mean, there were parts of it I really, really enjoyed. But it wasn't as cohesive as they needed it to be. Season three thus far has kind of, I'm not quite back to the love that I had of the season one.
Yeah.
But it that doesn't mean it's going to be any less so. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, I have a special place for season one. Season three is totally different, right, you know, from in season one. I might love it just as much, mm-hmm, but just in a different way.
Yeah.
And so far, the first two episodes, it's really promising to me. Like you said, like the two AIs battling out, and we haven't gotten a lot of that, you know, the company AI yet.
Right.
It's just kind of have that. It's just like, it's almost like it's in the background, just, you know, doing its thing.
Yeah. Getting it, doing its little Rehobola thing, whatever it's supposed, yeah, to be doing. That's what it's doing.
So, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Westworld's on every Sunday at 9. It's like, I know the first week, because, you know, we share an HBO account. You're welcome. canceling DC, bastard. Anyway, I can't believe you canceled the DC app on me.
Yeah.
I should change my HBO Go password or my HBO Now password on you now. Anyway. But no, like you started watching it first last, the first Sunday. And I was like, should I wait? Like, I was afraid it was going to mess up your watch if I put it on, but it didn't. So,
and I did the same thing this time. I was like, you were like 40 minutes in. I'm like, okay, I'm hoping this doesn't mess up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going for it.
Yep. You know, if it does, you're just getting an angry phone call. So, or signed out. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I like, you know, between this, the, you know, the Star Wars news, I think, you know, like Picard gave it a good first shot. Like I'll definitely come back for a second season for Picard to see what they do. Yeah. And without spoiling anything, like kind of what's changed with him, but, yeah, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a little a swing and a miss.
And I should have said this earlier, but, you know, we both have a love for The Expanse that, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of maybe kind of stalkerish. But I have a hard time watching space battles without being overly critical of them. And one of the things, again, other than the laziness of having two ship designs for – you know, two armadas, was the fact that it's like, this is absolutely a linear face-to-face.
Right.
Despite, you know, it being in space.
Like,
so, and thanks, Expanse. You know, you've ruined battles.
You got to put Battlestar Galactica and you got to put Space Above and Beyond in there. As those are the three shows that I feel like get space battles right.
Now, I will say, I don't recall Space Above and Beyond as much, but yes, BSG, I loved how they would, you know, hit the thrusters or hit the boosters, I should say, and you know, they would just, you know, change axes.
Yeah. That's awesome. The thrusters. I mean, because you could be going in one direction and you just flip over and now you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Or you're going towards something and, you know,
flip and burn.
So yeah, it's one of those things where I think, we've been spoiled now. And so things like Star Trek and Star Wars to some extent, where it's very much like World War II dogfighting. It's like, okay, that's fine, but give me something else. Like Hera does that in an episode of Rebels, where she fights with that fourth dimension there, like that fourth level, and in an X-Wing. And it's really cool. And it's something I've waited, you know, years to see.
Yeah. And to quote I forgot what commercial it is, but the old lady, she was like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
All right.
But yeah, Picard, just to say on Picard, you know, I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than you. I had my issues with it. I did like, I just don't think they fulfilled the potential, especially that what they had were these three competing, especially in the finale with Picard wanting to do his, you know, fight for the rights of the sense. The sense saying, hey, we don't know if you can do this, Picard, so we're watching out for ourselves.
Right.
Or, and the other end, you know, the Romulans or the Zot-Vash, who are like, okay, if we let these sense go, they're going to destroy all organic life. So you had these three competing, you know, ideals, and they just, with Picard and Soji, their conversation, they did a good, pretty decent job of, and Picard did come across, one of the things I wrote down was, like, he's coming across as pretty arrogant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he always did, though, you know.
Yeah, he always was. He always was pretty. And he's been told that before. So, but yeah, I would have liked to see them. I mean, I love Patrick Stewart, though, or
Sir Pat.
So, yeah, I was about to say. I mean, I should say Sir Patrick Stewart. And I love all the characters that they have on the crew. I don't think I'd like to your point. I don't think they did enough justice.
I just
want to
know more about them, like. You know,
exactly.
We got that brief look at Rafi with her family, and like we know she's sitting there like vaping whatever the future version of weed, all the time. But like, there's more to her, right? Like,
right.
Rios. You know, we got a little glimpse into him. Like the synths have messed him up. Even Agnes. Like, you know, she was kind of a red herring all season, and now it's like, okay, like, but you wasted some really great, like, character development moments. And, like,
yeah.
There's that scene where, like, her and Rios have that kiss, and it's like, okay, so that thing was real? Like, was it? Like, you know, I don't know.
I understand, and we've talked about this before. It's very rare that a first season of a show is just, like, knocks it out of the park. I mean, it happens. Yeah. I think I look at Westworld, Justified. I love the opening scene of Justified, by the way.
I actually showed that to Angel the other day. I said, hey, by the way, this is the greatest cold open in the history of any television series.
Amazing. So, amazing.
Anyway, you know what? We should do a Justified rewatch and talk about that for like 10 weeks.
Well, I'm doing the rewatch, and I'm still on season two, I think. Okay. That's where I ended up at, actually, back when it was first airing. Mm. Season two or season three. I think I got to season three when it was first airing.
Okay.
So that's something I need to get back and finish, because, I love that show.
Hell yeah. So, Picard was okay. Westworld's been pretty cool. People need to give Star Wars a chance to do the right thing with its storytelling and worry a little bit less about, like, canceling people based off of allegations, not even like, you know, like, let's get full stories first before we start trying to cancel people. And give me Ezra Bridger, like Batista says, give me what I want.
That would be a nice little surprise, though, if they could keep that.
If Batista was Ezra Bridger, oh my God, that would be great.
Yeah.
No, could you imagine he comes back, he's all jacked and old and bald? No, I think Dev Patel would make the perfect Ezra Bridger. So.
Yeah, he actually does. Yeah, I think he would.
Anyway. All right. On that note, where can everybody find you online?
Well, I'm kind of a nomad right now, so it's not really doing much online right at this moment, but I'll definitely, if this trial run works, I'll be able to tell you where I'm at.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so you can find the show online at ifmuspodcast.com, obviously. We're on Spotify. We're now on iHeartRadio. I forgot about that.
Oh, really?
I should have mentioned that at the top of the show. I'll do that next week. We're on iHeartRadio now as well. But iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. I highly recommend Spotify. If you like our show, grab your friend's phone and subscribe to us on their Spotify account for them so they can listen to us as well.
Or you're doing them a favor.
Yeah, you are. Or if you're on iTunes, go give us a 5-star review. You know, if you kind of want to help out with the show, we have Patreon. It's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. Or better yet, since we're all kind of quarantined in and don't have a lot to do, go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, or just go to the site and see. And you get a 30-day free trial to Comixology, and that helps out the show, which would be great, and get to read some really cool comics like Lock and Key. A bunch of cool Star Wars comics are up now. Yeah, there's that. And you can find me at Brian Tudor on most social networks. Our music is from Michael, by a guy named Michael Henry. You go to meetmichaelhenry.com to find out more about Michael. New episodes every Sunday. I'm going to be on the Everything is Permitted podcast this week, so I'm really excited about that, to continue that collaboration with those guys. And yeah, any last words?
Make it so.
All right. Talk to you later.